A65. Number 16A.
So today we come to the next level of the level of absolute Christian Science. And we want to investigate how each point of intersection on that level can be symbolized through the synonymous terms, and also see what kind of a law is expressed through those synonymous terms. When we come to this level, we come to a field of consciousness that is perhaps more common to our state of understanding, to our present consciousness, because in a way I feel that we have come out to a great extent out of the level of Christian Science, where we are just concerned with apply the truth to error, but where we have been mostly interested in calculating rightly, and that is the level of absolute Christian Science. And it is actually a very powerful and very comforting level. In absolute Christian Science, we have first the Word, and that Word, as you know, is symbolized through those three synonymous terms, life, truth, and love. Also, when we go on then to the Christ, Christianity, and Science on this level, we will see that we only have to deal with those three synonymous terms, life, truth, and love, which are the essence of the divine principle. And so at first we can ask the question that is always asked by the student, why do we only have to deal here with life, truth, and love? Why no more with mind, spirit, soul? The same question as we have asked on the level of divine science and science itself, why do the other synonymous terms not appear? Well, this is a very fundamental question, and I think we should be very well aware for the reason why it is so. Not just only say, as we said before, well, life, truth, and love is the accent on this level, and the accent is no more on mind, spirit, and soul. That's true, but we should know the reason why. Why is mind, spirit, soul of subordinate importance? You say subordinate importance of importance, and we actually should know this. Do you feel you have any good reason for that and explanation for that? That you can deduce from the categorical thinking? Yes? You see, these are the main issues. You try. Okay.
Because life and love is concerned with ideas on the actual Christian Science level. On the Christian Science level, we're dealing with handling material beliefs on the Christian Science level. Therefore, you need to work with mind, spirit, and soul because they handle moral, mind, matter, body beliefs.
Yes. Did you hear it? Uh-huh. It can be done. Thank you. Yeah, and the answer is actually very, very much to the point. Yes. See, her answer was, I repeat it for the sake of those who listen to the tapes, and also for your sake. namely, that she said, absolute Christian Science deals mainly with the accent on ideas, because it's a level that shows us the relationship of principle to ideas. Whereas on the level of Christian Science, the accent is on the relationship between ideas and illusions, or between truth and error, or truth and beliefs. And from there we can reason further and say, how do beliefs show themselves forth? What is the manifestation of beliefs? And a belief can only work really on the basis of the counterfeit of mind, spirit, and soul. It only works if there is mortal mind at work, or if we rely on mortal mind or go out from mortal mind. Beliefs need a material manifestation. So you have a sense of matter coming in as the objective manifestation of mortal mind. We have, on the level of erroneous belief, always a sense testimony. Without sense testimony, we would not take notice of pain and suffering, of disease and things like that. So that that realm needs the counterfeit of soul, which is the testimony of the five physical senses. And only if those three are corrected, we really can say we are free from material beliefs. So even if you take a phenomena like the counterfeit of life, like death, we would never have any concept of death without a concept of mortal mind, matter, body. See, death does only occur in the realm of the counterfeit of mind, spirit, soul. Death is not just a counterfeit of life. It is only possible to have a manifestation if it is based on mortal mind, matter, body. If we would not have, say, a belief in a body, how would we ever believe in death? Because death implies that life leaves the body. So if we would not have a concept that the body is a reality, we would not have a concept of death. So in this way we can easily see that the accent on the level of Christian Science must be on mind, spirit, soul, because they correct really the belief in the reality of mortal mind, of beliefs. Yes, so as in absolute Christian Science, we are engaged in calculating ideas and do not take in the beliefs, the counterfeit beliefs. Therefore, mind, spirit, soul have no great part in it. They do not need to be accentuated. The accent then is on how the divine principle manifests itself as life, truth, and love. So we get the accent on life, truth, and love. Again, we must stress for ourselves again that naturally life, truth, and love are only really life, truth, and love on the basis that there is mind, spirit, soul. That is implied with it now. How could we have life eternal if we would not first have corrected the belief of mortal mind, matter, and body? So, in the ascending way, naturally, we start out with the accent on mind, spirit, soul, but once that is seen through and seen that mortal mind, matter, and sense testimony are no reality, then thought is ready really to rise to the level of absolute Christian Science, where it just can contemplate the activity of the divine principle as life, truth, and love. But it rests naturally on the understanding that we have gained in Christian Science, on the level of Christian Science. There is no life without mind, spirit, soul. There is no truth without mind, spirit, soul. There is no love without mind, spirit, soul. Is that very clear? See? So, actually, we do not drop on the level of absolute Christian Science, mind, spirit, soul. We just, what we do is that we said, we have seen through that whole proposition on the level of Christian Science, so now we don't have to accentuate it again. Now we can accentuate the demonstration of mind, spirit, soul as the principle of being, and can accentuate really life, truth, and love. Yes. So that must be very clear. Okay. Then, there is another point we have to keep in mind. A few other points, actually. When we consider the level of absolute Christian Science, for instance, here, in the world, we have life, truth, and love. Now, life, truth, and love, are they an order? Do they present an order?
No.
No. This is the big point. Whereas, when you have life, truth, and love on the level of Christian Science, then life, truth, and love is an order. It's the unfolding order from mind to spirit to soul to the divine principle, from where in an ordered way we ascend to the fifth, sixth, and seventh state, to life, truth, and love. There they are part of the word order. Whereas you said on the level of absolute Christian Science they are not an order. What are they then?
They are a cord.
They are a cord, huh? It's one thing, huh? Yes? So, let's keep that in mind, that is important, that it is not an ordered flow, but it is one chord which we play, so to say, spiritually in one moment. Another point is, if that is a chord, is the accent on all three the same? No, huh? You really have learned your lessons, huh? The accent is on what?
Life.
Life, huh? On the first one. Yes. Just as afterwards we'll see the accent is on the first one in the Christ too. So, actually, when we play that melody of the word in absolute Christian Science, it is actually life, truth, and love. It's not life, truth, and love. It's life, truth, and love. The accent is on the first one. And you can see in this way very nicely how when we come down vertically from the level of divine science, there you had life. So coming down from the word in divine science to the word in absolute Christian science, that life is still there as the main point, but is now unfolded or opened up, further unfolded, by saying, but that life is already the truth about everything and the perfection of everything, truth and love. Yes, so if we keep this in mind, that first of all, life, truth and love is a chord and not an order nor a sequence, but that it has the accent on the first one, then I think we get the tonality of the law of life, truth, and love in the word in absolute Christian Science, and that is the main thing that we have to culture, that wonderful law of life, truth, and love that is so important. I don't know how you felt over the last few years, but I think I have met many who were feeling all the same thing that they felt, that more and more they were really aware that nothing is going on in the world and in their lives and in their being, but the terrific impact that the Word of God constantly says, I am life and the truth and the love, that only that is going on. But what does it mean, as long as we just have a sense or just talk in terms of the synonymous terms? We naturally also must know the tonality which is behind life, truth and love. What is spiritually meant? What is the symphony that we hear? It's really like yesterday, that organ, you say, that has sometimes such a strong impact on life, and truth and love just go along with it in a nice way, but it is a terrific impact. So what is life here? What is the tonality of life here? It must be something very strong, huh?
It is the creative urge and the creative source of life.
Yeah. So life here, huh, is the sense of a creative urge, huh, a creative impact, a creative impulsion. Huh? It's the explosiveness, so to say, of life, the terrific spontaneity of life. It's like dynamite of life. Huh? It is that well of life that just pushes out the water and cannot be suppressed anymore. Huh? It's that irrepressible life. And if one gets that sense of that urge of life, the impulsion of life, the creativeness of life, it's life as that which breaks through, huh? The power of breaking through, the power of expansion, the power of manifestation. All that is here seen as the irrepressible power of life that just breaks through anything. Nothing can keep it back, nothing can subdue it, is that the right term? Suppress it, huh? So if being is of that nature, that it says at this point, life, that one life in divine science, you see, that one life in divine science was a peaceful sense of life, exalted sense of life, a supreme sense of life. There is only one life, and that's the eternal life, and that is the everlasting life. But the moment we translate it to the point of absolute Christian science, where the divine principle has to bring out something as idea, at that point, that still life of divine science becomes a terrific urge, a terrific creative urge, that says, I want to express myself. I want to do something. I want to be the eternal creator. And that gives us within ourselves a sense, by word. So what I have to entertain in consciousness is just to listen and to hear to that powerful life that always says, whatever happens, whatever is going on, no matter what the circumstances are, I, life, am the constant, irrepressible power of impulsion, of urge, of creative ability, and I'm jolly well going to do something. So one loses that sense within ourselves, that we think, well, how can I bring life, truth and love into operation? What shall I do? What shall I think in order that life, truth and love operate for me? See, that's the wrong attitude. You hear at once that this then becomes a wrong attitude. That may be the attitude on the level of Christian science, but no more on the level of absolute Christian science. On the level of absolute Christian science, we have those wonderful still hours. Huh? or even if we are in the rush, there is constantly that background music that goes on, huh? Within our consciousness. There is always that law which says, you know, whatever goes on, whatever you do, if you are awake or asleep, doesn't matter. If you think about God or don't think about God, there is that background music still there which says, being itself is the one life. The one life. Divine science. And that one life is constantly is constantly at the point of the divine urge to manifest itself. It goes on, it creates, it is a constant creator, it's a constant impulsion, it's a constant impact on something, it's a constant spontaneous power at work to express itself. Can you hear that tone? That is the melody that goes on. So it is a change of consciousness that we naturally have to undergo, and where we see that it is God's business to do something, and not our business to bring God into operation through any kind of means. Yes, so we have here the tone of life, which is the great accent here, but then we have to know what is meant by truth here. What is meant by truth? If truth is not the next point in a sequence, in an order. So what does truth say? What does truth mean in this triunity? Yes, Eleanor?
It's the true form of that spontaneity.
Yes.
Of that impulsion.
Yes. 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 It's a fact in it, it's a true form of it. Huh? What does it actually say about life? What does truth say about life in this case?
That it's the new form.
Yeah, yeah. That it says, well, we said life is that that creative urge, that well of life, and it says, and that creative urge has a true form, or is of a true form. It's true, it's factual, it's right. Because, you know, in consciousness, without that, we say, yes, there is the impulsion of life, but will it do the right thing? See, that is not yet said, that it will do the right thing. We can have an impulsion, and we know that the people usually have an impulsion, and all that comes out is very wrong, especially when they act out of their own impulsion. So life doesn't say yet that that impulsion is already an impulsion that can only do the right thing. That it's only that which are absolute facts. So we have again a further sense of peace that comes on us, which says, yes, that impulsion that goes on anyway will always impel the right thing, will always be that which is a divine fact and nothing else, will never be able to do something wrong or at the wrong time, at the wrong place, with the wrong measure, through the wrong channels. See, that's what you meant by the true form, because everything that impulsion of life uses to be an impulsion is right. Right time, the right place, the right methods, the right opportunities, the right experiences, the right channels, the right people, the right opportunities and occasions. Everything is right about it. Huh? And it's a divine fact. It's not just something flimsy and elusive and misty. Yes? So the source is right. Huh? It is not the source that is life, and what comes out of it is true. The source itself is of the nature of truth, because it's not an order, it's a unit, a chord, so that it says So that what I ask, what does truth say about life? Truth says about life, your impulsion of life, is a true impulsion, is a right impulsion, is a factual impulsion, is a divine fact. And what does love mean here?
It means that these facts are fulfilled perfectly.
That these facts are already fulfilled, they're already perfect. But you go back to truth in that way, huh? What is it if you... When you go back to life, because life is the accent, so actually we should go right back even to life. Huh? It's all right what you said about truth, huh? But if you go back to life, what would you see here from the point of view of love?
That the creation.
Yeah, that creative impulsion, huh, is already at the point of perfection. That it can, that it. Draws its water, that the well draws from perfection and not from making something perfect. You see, if it would be making something perfect, it would be an order. And that would be on the level of Christian Science. So that you feel you are actually hearing the accent on life, about which truth says, and that impulsion is factual, is a divine fact, is right in every way. And love says to that well of life also, and that what you do, you draw from a well of perfection, a well of perfect plane, huh?